Welcome to Life Quest, a program that directs you to subjects and books that will make a difference in your life. A program that will make you think and strengthen your journey of faith in the 21st century. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. Today on Life Quest, I'm talking to Tara Royer Steele. She's a really creative person, has a passion for gathering people together through Jesus and pie and art and a meal. And she's grown up with the family business, which was Royer's Round Top Cafe. But now she has her own bakery, Royer's Pie Haven. And she and her husband and kids live in Texas. And today I'm talking with her about her book, Eat, Pie, Love. 52 Devotions to Satisfy Your Mind, Body, and Soul. Tara, welcome to Life Quest.
Thanks for having me.
Why this book at this time?
Well, God's timing's so great, isn't it? For so long, people had been telling me, you should write a book. And in our family, we have written cookbooks. Uh-huh. And they also help their stories in those books. But, you know, our family slowly has grown. Like, my dad has his own dreams, right? And my brother has his own dreams,
right.
And I have my own dreams. But we're all still involved in the family business, mm-hmm. which makes it tricky to be, and, you know, protect those boundaries and everyone's path that God's calling them to. So God released my husband and I from being in the cafe. And through all of that, I was able to do some serious deep soul work, cleaning out all these lies that I had believed about myself. Uh-huh. Everything I was believing, I was like, this is truth, y'all. And people are like, actually, no, this is not truth, Tara. This is not how God sees you. So the opportunity came where God said, you're going to get real quiet. And I was, and being an entrepreneur, being quiet sounds...
Yes.
Like, oh, okay, sure. I'll give you 10 minutes in the morning. I gotta go.
Right.
So I got to. God pretty much released us from a lot of businesses,
mm-hmm.
and said, "You're gonna write a book." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, sure." And of course, that was still hard for me to create that margin and know that sitting still was completely productive.
In fact, right in the beginning of your book, you talk about divine appointments. You've seen those in your life, haven't you?
I have. The cafe, which, you know, I started working there when I was 12, and mm-hmm. yeah, I'm going to tell you, I'm nearly 45, so I've worked there a really long time, and only been out of it a few years. I actually went and cooked there on this past Saturday night to help uh-huh. my brother out. And man, you know, that was so life-giving to just be able to walk in something that was at times felt like a death, but because it was something I'd been in for so long,
sure.
and to be taken out of it. So the people that walked through the cafe doors and the Pie Haven doors have, you know, encouraged me, loved on me, and brought me to where I am right now, talking to you. I would not be talking with you if I didn't meet those people at the cafe because
right.
of pie.
It's amazing, isn't it, how that if you begin to be sensitive to it and look for it, you'll see these divine appointments through everyday life.
Sure.
I'm long retired from being a pastor and a teacher, but I needed some extra money because the landladies raised the rent. And so I work at Ace Hardware. Never did that
yeah.
before, but found out I was good about it. But better than that, Tara, every day I'm meeting people that either need to be cheered up or need a listening ear or are so frustrated with their project, they need somebody to say, oh, here's what you do. And and it sounds to me as I go through your book that this is part of your life. You are sensitive to these appointments that the Lord is setting up, which you recognize either at the time or as you look back.
Oh, I had one last night. This time right now, everything has been shut down, so we can't go out to dinner in a lot of places
right.
because of things going on in the world. And so we're like, okay, we got to go get Mexican food tonight one
uh-huh.
last time. And a girl walked up that I hadn't seen in quite a while, and some friends and I are gathering in a couple of evenings and going to go door to door and just pass out food in low income families in neighborhoods. So she had just mentioned, she said, listen, I said, hey, we're going to do this thing. And she goes, oh my gosh, that's so amazing. Because she's like, I cried for my kids because there are many children that cry on Fridays when they have to go home.
Yeah.
And so she's going to jump on board and help us because she knows where we need, because I'm like, hey guys, I can gather food, you know? And so it's amazing how God, I sat there at dinner and I said, you guys, we came to eat Mexican food tonight, just not for Mexican food. We came to see this friend who knows where we can go serve the children.
Yeah.
So, he's in all the details.
Some of us have more of a problem than others in chapter 2. How you hold your words. Sometimes if we understand ourselves enough, we'd look back and say, where did that come from? How did I say that? But this is something really important, realizing that God hears all of our words, and we need God's guidance to control.
Sure. I think so many ways to you could look at this, and how we talk to ourselves, and if the words that we are speaking to ourselves, we wrote them on the outside of our bodies where people could see them, you know, that is not what anybody sees. Most people, I would say, don't see us that way, and God surely doesn't see us that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we're standing in front of someone, you know, because we never know whose eyes, you know, God is looking at us through, right?
Yeah.
So it's the person that we are looking at, talking to, supposed to be being the hands and feet of Jesus, and we are thinking things about them, and they saw those words on our, you know, our face. My goodness. And that's what happens with the world. You know, these days, nobody hides behind the words. They just speak the words. And, of course, everyone is easily offended. But God hears all our thoughts. I wrote that down this morning, actually. I'm so horrible about remembering things. But it was Psalms 139:17, I believe. Maybe it was 16, but he knows all our thoughts. Like, he knows he's thought about us. So before we were even born, he knows the thoughts he thinks about us is more than the grains of sand. And just all the things that he's thinking about us are nothing what we are thinking about ourselves or others. So I even thought things about myself this morning. I was so frustrated. I've struggled with, you know, body image and weight issues and all those things.
Uh-huh.
And I just was so mad at myself and speaking harsh words to me. And I sent my friend a text like, okay, I need you to help me hold myself accountable because these are the words I'm speaking to myself. So could you please speak truth to me? And so, you know, if you're in that situation, I think having that person that you can say, listen, this is what I'm telling myself. Please, can you help me clear this up? And of course, first go ask God, like, is this truth, God?
Mm-hmm.
Like, would you say this about me? That's the first thing. And, you know, very quickly, he's going to be like, no. Or, you know, maybe there is some truth to that.
Right.
And, yeah, you need to hold yourself accountable.
I was looking at your chapter here called Love 'Em All. And some of us seem in our character, or maybe it has to do with how we grew up or whatever, we're assuming that other people are looking at us, as you just referred to, even yourself, but we think that other people are judging us.
Sure.
And yet, sometimes, as you just referenced, they have some things that we need to listen to. But there's this contrast you're presenting here, and that is, not everybody's judging us. At the same time, it's not our job to judge other people. And then this line, which I liked very much on page 25, you said, we just need to sometimes show up and let God use you. And it can be surprising how he does that.
Yes. This morning I had to put that bracelet on my wrist.
Yeah.
And it says, just show up. And I have to, because right now I'm like, I really don't want to go show up, but I'm going to go show up for the girls that are at the Pie Haven, showing up for me, and for everyone out there that's like, hey guys, life is hard right now. Life is really hard right now. Let's be real. And there's plenty of us that need to just get in the car and drive.
Uh-huh.
And if we can be that person, because we have no idea what they're going through. And if it means me cutting a slice of pie and handing it to them in their car because they drove an hour before just pie is what I say. But what they're, that's love. Like, we're serving these people love. That's the hand and feet of Jesus showing up, even when you're like, oh my goodness, I just can't do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, so many times, like, I'm like, I have all the, I used to make really crazy to-do lists. I'm getting a lot better where I'm like, I don't even want to look at one. Like, just show up and let God do the rest. Don't we make all these plans and these agendas? Well, good grief. Don't make any plans right now. The whole world is saying don't make any plans.
Right.
And it's, I think it's great for us to know right now, like, hey guys, just a reminder, we never, ever are in control. And we never know what is going to happen next. So right now, like, what can you do?
Mm-hmm.
To just show up and love someone exactly where they are. And you don't have to ask them questions. You don't have to do anything. You could just sit there with them and just be like, so let's just sit and have pie together. And,
yeah.
And we don't have, and let God do the rest. He's already planted those seeds. So just keep watering those seeds and, you know, be there wherever he's calling you to do, even when you're like, this is the craziest thing ever. That most likely is the best place to go then.
If you just tuned in, I'm talking with Tara Royer Steele. She's written a 52 devotions to satisfy your mind, body, and soul. The book is called Eat, Pie, Love. Tell our listening audience, Tara, the difference between a peacekeeper and a peacemaker.
Oh, man. Well, I was, for so long, a peacekeeper.
Okay.
I just wanted to make everybody happy at work.
Yeah.
Being at work, you know, there's 30 employees and everyone shows up. And, you know, I don't always show up with, well, just show up and be kind to everybody. But everyone is, obviously, when everyone walks in the door, they have their own struggles that they're going through. And, you know, I would see that on their face, and I would just do whatever I could to, say, calm their thoughts or their nerves.
Mm-hmm.
But I was doing it for other reasons, because I knew that another girl was going to walk in, and then there was going to just be this constant strife. And so I was just doing whatever I could to keep the peace between employees or family members or customers. Or I would do things to soothe things over for a little while. But, you know, that just doesn't work, because we can't just cover things up with a Band-Aid. We've got to, you know, rip that Band-Aid off, even when it stinks, which would be enter a peacemaker. The peacemaker's going to rip the Band-Aid off.
Yeah.
And say, all right, well, what are we going to do? Why are you this way? I can't keep living this way. We're not called to live this way.
Uh-huh.
So what do we need to do to clean out those hurts, those wounds, those infections, so that we can, you know, we can put a healing salve over it, and we can all be together. And then you can go to the next person. You're continuing to create peacemakers instead of just keeping the peace. And I kept it for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was painful, and it caused so much strife in my marriage.
Uh-huh.
And it got to the point where my husband says, listen, you're going to have to quit trying to just keep the peace and, you know, pick everybody else to make them happy.
Uh-huh.
We're going to have to do, you know, hard stuff. That was a hard day. But
yeah.
We made it, right?
Right, exactly.
We're still married, so we made it.
If I can jump ahead here on chapter 16, it says God's healing balm. And you talk about the fact that we all have, some more than others, hurts from the past, whether it's in how we grew up or whether it's people we had to work with or cared about, and it hurt. And you say, but we can get over that. We can get past it. Let's put it that way.
We can. You know, I remember the time that, you know, someone spoke to me and called me names running across the street, and I was 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that is where the seed was planted for me, and I believed that what they spoke to me was truth, and I believed so many lies about myself.
Yeah.
How I looked and why guys wouldn't go out with me. And then, of course, I was just looking for anybody. Like, I just want somebody to love me.
Yes.
But mm-hmm. I didn't go to Jesus. The thing for me was when I realized that I could take a situation and I could go, okay, so when I was, say, when I remember being the first time I feared my earthly father, you know, I don't remember what I did. I just remember there was that gnashing of teeth and you knew the belt was coming, right?
Yep.
And so I don't remember any of it, but I remember the time, I remember how old I was, and I remember which car I was sitting in over 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was able to go, okay, man, but when you learn about Jesus and how much he loves us and how he has never, ever left us, and that if I just took that person out of the situation and I put Jesus there, that in that car with me, I take everyone else but him, and he's like, I love you. I am so sorry that this is happening to you. I am right here with you, and I will never leave you or forsake you. And so I've done that for so many situations where I just take the people out that were in that situation,
mm-hmm.
and I put Jesus there and speak the truth that he thinks about me, and that and then you have to move on to forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't easy.
Yeah.
But man, when you can tell that person, you know, and it's the same thing about loving them all and letting God sort them out, that once you can love them no matter what, and you can forgive them, and yes, you do need to set maybe someday some kind of boundaries, and I'm not saying stay in relationships that are horribly abusive or anything like that. I am just saying that there are ways for you to get back to, you know, that original person that God created you to be.
Yeah.
And you got to do a lot of work to do that.
I liked what you said, or what you were talking about in chapter 20, God is my business plan. If we shifted our perspective and saw our job as working for God, how would we show up for work differently? Remember reading about how that in past generations, that many times your common laborer, whatever their skill and craft was, they had this concept that, yeah, I'm not only doing a good job and I'm not only producing something that I can make a living at, but I'm doing it for God also. And that's why I'm going to do the best that I can at whatever I'm doing. That seems to be what you're saying here.
Yes, it is. And man, I saw it. I've seen it in the last few days because we've reshifted our business plans.
Yes.
Two or three times.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are in the food industry business. And yeah. We have a fair down here in Texas that happens twice a year. And it is 25% of our sales.
Right.
And so that's been canceled. And we also live in a town of 90 people. So you're going to drive past a lot of places before you're going to get to us. And I'm seeing how everyone else is doing their thing. And so then I jump on the, you know, oh, okay, we can do this. Oh, we can do this. And then this morning, and last night and this morning, I have to be like, okay, God, I don't want to, you've created this margin
mm-hmm.
for us to rest and be still with you. I was going on a book tour. I had events. I had speaking things. Everything has been cleared. And I have to trust him and know that I didn't write this book. And maybe I did. I don't know. Let me rephrase. I don't think that we wrote this book just
on your own.
Talk about it for a week,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, it's over. God's going to finish the things that he started. So whatever it is that God started in your life, he's going to finish it. In your business, when you can take all of it, if you can take money out of your business and you said, hey, God, what do you want me to do today? I'm not taking money out of it. What are my gifts? What are you calling me to do? Man, you can shift your perspective in your work life. And you might not be able right now to leave that 9-to-5 job.
Right.
But man, could you shift your perspective in that 9-to-5 job? And it's like, okay, well, if I wasn't getting a paycheck today, what can I do to show Jesus, to let God be my business plan. And the reason I came up with that was because someone flat out told me, you know, you can't use God for your business plan. And I was like, well, I didn't go to school. I went to school in Round Top, Texas, in a tiny cafe in a town of 90 people, and I learned life that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to know that God is my business plan, because there is no way I would be right here, right now, if God wasn't the person that, you know, handed me that degree, that plan, those ideas.
Tell our listeners about the format of the book at the end of each chapter.
Well, it all started with, I would get these, talking with Jesus in the morning, and kind of give me a little drawing and idea, and I would get these digital downloads, and I would illustrate them because I just love to draw or paint, and then I would expand on those ideas. And so there's illustrations with all of the devotions, and then there are slices of recipes.
Yeah.
So there's a little pie recipes, there's recipes from our cafe, just that gives you a little bit of taste of what, if you came to the cafe or the Pie Haven, what you would get. And besides just pie, you would know that it is an experience, and that it's about the relationship.
Right. The book, again, is Eat, Pie, Love, Tara Royer Steele. Where can our listeners get a copy of your book, Tara?
Yeah, everyone can find the book on Amazon.com, or they can find it over on TaraRoyerSteele.com.
Great. Thank you, Tara, so much for being with us on LifeQuest.
Thank you. I've enjoyed talking with you.
My name is Dwight Lanehoff. This program comes to you from studios in the Meadowglade Church, Battleground, Washington.